Welcome back into the show. It's a Tuesday afternoon. We're finally through rivalry week. We're through the regular season for a lot of teams. Some teams still have games this upcoming weekend. There's also conference championship games, and we'll get to those. The college football professor is with me. There is some news on the coaching front in college football. Many coaches were fired over the weekend and yesterday, but Ohio State has made their hire, and they have chosen Urban Meyer, of course, the former Florida coach who won two national championships in Gainesville. And there is a strong chance right now, from what I am hearing, that Dan Mullen has a reasonable shot of becoming the Penn State next head football coach at Penn State, which obviously would leave a vacancy at both schools from the SEC and the state of Mississippi. So a lot of interesting wheels turning on the college football coaching carousel at this hour. College football professor, I trust you had a good rivalry weekend and enjoy the games.
I did. I really enjoyed them, and there were some good games, and some that were not so good.
Well, what are your thoughts?
Well, as I think about, you know, Jacob, when people look at football or anything else, everybody's got their opinion. I think Will Rogers said opinions are really popular because everybody's got one. But there. Let me just share an example. There are two ways to look at something. There's the one side. Somebody said once that truth is angular, according to what angle you look at it. Some might say that Alabama does not deserve to play in the national championship
some
game.
Some are saying that. It's not might.
Okay. Some are saying that Alabama does not deserve to play in the national championship when they didn't win their own conference. Now, that's one way of looking at it. Now, there's another way of looking at that. You could say, can you believe a team with 11-1 record, rated number 2 in the nation, and by most football observers are looked at as one of the best two teams in the conference, did not even win their own division, and are not in their own conference's championship game? That's a different, there are two ways to look at that. There are a lot of things that you look at and you're surprised. You hear about things. For instance, I had really not watched Notre Dame play this year. Then I was watching their record. It wasn't very good, and it wasn't real bad. But when I looked at them and watched them play a good bit of their game this past weekend, I realized that while they may not have a very stellar record, they're just not a very good football team.
Well, that is certainly true. If anybody watched that game against Stanford the other night, Andrew Luck had his way lighting up the defense.
Well, when Jacob, when we think about that, what would you say the most disappointing teams this year? Just disappointing? Maybe, I guess if you say disappointment, it's either disappointed from what we expected them to do or disappointed in what they should be doing.
Well, I think Florida would rank right up there. Florida Gators, I thought they would have a better year than they've had. And I understand they're under head coach Will Muschamp, but 6-6, just barely making it into a bowl. I think in any year at the University of Florida, you can reasonably expect to do better than that. And they had some really bad losses, especially last weekend to Florida State. So I'll take Florida on my disappointment of the year.
I could agree with you on that. Maybe two or three other teams that... Texas A&M is a disappointment. I think Texas A&M coming into the year, and I still think...
In the second half.
Yeah, but they have the players.
They weren't a disappointment in the first half,
that's
just
right.
The second half.
They really have the players in the team. They should have done a lot better.
Yeah.
And even though Ohio State's going through all their problems and having an interim coach and that kind of thing, they still didn't perform up to the level that they should.
6-6, yeah.
And then it stands to reason to say UCLA... wouldn't it be something if they won this week and went to the Rose Bowl?
Well, and Rick Neuheisel, for those who don't know, has been fired. And when you get beat 50-0 by USC, and you're still going to your conference championship game, and you're firing your coach, and you might go to the Rose Bowl, a lot of things going on there.
Can I give you one other observation?
Yes.
And this has to do with all of the discussion about the national championship. When everything is done and said, now you notice I didn't say said and done, I said done and said, the naysayers concerning LSU and Alabama playing as the best two teams in the country. It reminds me a little bit of the battle between good and evil, or the ordinary folks with the wealthy. Always wanting to poke holes in success, bring down the standard rather than working to elevate oneself up to a standard. So, you know, when you think about that, you know, you hear them say, well, so-and-so has a puncher's chance, like a Buster Douglas prize fight. Well, don't you think that championship games ought to be played between two championship teams, not just saying, well, we're going to put this team out there and hope by some miracle they might have a knockout punch?
Well, I think that's the thing. Everybody hopes that the SEC can go down one way or the other, and the only way to guarantee they will in the BCS championship game is to put the Pokes of Oklahoma State in there. But let me tell everybody one thing. I have a new breaking news here. They have not beaten Oklahoma yet, and that's a pretty big rivalry, and they haven't beaten them that many times. So it's going to be interesting.
The truth is, Jacob, that flash and dash football played by Oregon or Oklahoma State, and to some extent Arkansas, does not fare well when it comes up against the cruise and bruise football played by Alabama and LSU.
Mm-mm. No, I think Arkansas found that out the hard way.
It's hard for me to believe that anyone can look at the top football teams and not say that Alabama and LSU are the top two teams. And you know, Jacob, I really believe everybody believes that. They're just trying to design it in such a way so it'd be something different.
Yep. Well, let's look at our power rankings this weekend. Who do we have on top of the SEC? And who do we have on top of the national? I'll let you go first with the SEC.
Well, I rearranged mine a little bit this week because we had a loss.
Sure.
I'm doing it this way.
Okay.
LSU, number one. Alabama, two. South Carolina, three. Arkansas, four. And Georgia, five.
You know, I'm going to take a similar line on that, except for I'm still putting Arkansas because they just simply blasted South Carolina at third. But I will put South Carolina at four and Georgia at five, simply because after sizing them up, Georgia's a very good football team, but they ended up losing to South Carolina, and I think that's the reason I'm going to put South Carolina there. And if you look at their records, they have the same records. They ended up with the same records. It's just Georgia lost one non-conference game, so they get to go to the conference championship game. But I think between the two, they're both pretty good. How about nationally?
Well, I'm going to have to say that you gave a good argument there for that order. I like what you said. Nationally, my five are this. LSU 1, Alabama 2, Virginia Tech 3, Stanford 4, and Oklahoma State 5.
You know, I've been a big apologist for Virginia Tech. I said on one of the shows last week that Virginia Tech deserves to be in the conversation as much as any of the others. But then I looked at really the intricate numbers of their season. They haven't really played anybody, and the one team they did play that was anywhere near a top-rated team, and that was Clemson. They got absolutely blasted at home. So I put Virginia Tech at the bottom of my five, but I will put Oklahoma State 3 and Stanford 4. I think Oklahoma State's a good football, or have a good offense, and they're a good football team. I don't think Stanford's all that great. I think they played well against Notre Dame, but as you said, Notre Dame's a little overrated.
Well, I kept Virginia Tech up there. Simply, I agree with you. They don't deserve to be there. If you know, going by what they deserve, because they have not played very many strong teams. But I'm just looking at the fact that I really watched them play, and they just really look like a good, strong football team. You know, football, Jacob, is a team sport. And when we begin to compare and begin to talk about it, you know, the SEC has some really good teams in it.
They really do.
Think about this. South Carolina handily beat the Clemson team that was everybody's darling early in the year. Georgia beat Georgia Tech, a very good football team, and they beat them soundly. And Vanderbilt, a team that Alabama beat 34-0 and has always been as a bottom feeder in the SEC. They defeated the middle of the pack Wake Forest team convincingly this past weekend.
Yeah, if you're Mike Slive watching the rivalry weekend last week and the SEC going up against the ACC, it all went well except for, of course, that game in Gainesville that really was just a disaster for Florida. All right, well, who do we have this weekend to pick?
Well, let's look at these games. Last week, the old professor went 7-3. And you had an 8-2 record, Jacob. That was good because there were some tough picks. The old professor now is 110-20 for the year. And, you know, when I look at it, out of those three losses, two of them were by two proud programs that are scrubbing the floor of respectability, and those two let me down, Florida and Tennessee.
Yep.
Let's look at our first.
You know, I could put Tennessee, by the way, in the disappointments of the year. I blanked them out, but they could very well be there. I mean, 5-7 should never happen there either.
There's no reason for them to play the caliber of football that they played this year. All right, let's look at our picks this week. First one is the championship game of the Southeastern Conference, LSU and Georgia. Now, by nature, Jacob, I like dogs better than cats. But I tell you, there is nothing natural about the LSU cats, those tiger cats.
No.
And so I'm going to pick LSU to win this game.
Now, I think it'll be close for a half. You know, all the emotion in Georgia. I hear all these people now. Georgia can get them a game, give them a game, and I think they can for a half. But LSU has more talent than Georgia across the board. And in the second half, the weaknesses that Georgia had early in the year will begin to expose themselves once again. And I think LSU will win comfortably in the second half.
And I don't think that Georgia running out in silver helmets and green shoes.
If they do that, you could chalk it up as a loss.
They always try to pull out something to show. I hadn't figured that out yet.
No.
They just seem to have a – and I think that's going to be the difficulty of them. Now, this is what I think. I think Georgia's difficulty will come out in the fact that they just have a hard time of understanding who they are. And because of that –
I think that's a good point. Lack of identity. All right. Who's number two?
Our second game is quite a good matchup.
Michigan
State and Wisconsin, and they'll be playing in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And each of these teams come in with a 10-2 record, and I think they're two good football teams, and this should be a good game. I'm going to pick Michigan State.
Well, first of all, let me say a word about the Big Ten Championship. It's been a long-awaited thing, and I think this is great. The addition of Nebraska, I think it really gives another level to the Big Ten because these playoff games are meaningful for the most part, unless you're in the Pac-12. And I think Michigan State and Wisconsin are two good football teams, as you said. Of course, the first meeting of the year was very memorable. Last-second play, Michigan State, with a miracle, pulled it out. Don't think that will happen this time. I like Wisconsin to win the game, but it'll be a close game. Fun to watch.
Well, I guess you could say that that Scott, Pac-10 commissioner, was looking at the fact that the Big Ten was going to have a championship game this year, and he wasn't going to be outdone, so he was looking forward to having UCLA and Oregon playing.
I think what he should have done, though, is wait until USC got off probation and then instituted the Pac-12 championship game, because that Southern Division has a lot of dogs.
Our third game is Texas at Baylor. Now, Texas has won 16 of the last 18 of these contests. Last year, Baylor won 30-22. Now, Texas comes in with a 7-4 record. Baylor comes in at 8-3 record. I guess you could say, for who they are, 7-4 is pretty disappointing for Texas.
Yes, it is.
But I didn't expect much from Texas this year, so therefore I wasn't disappointed in them.
Well, it's better than last year.
Yes, but I'm going to pick them to win and finish their season at 8-4.
Something tells me Texas is going to win this game, too. So I'm going to go with them. I do think Robert Griffin III will have a decent game. I don't know how much he'll be able to play. Of course, he suffered a concussion last week. The only remaining real true Heisman contender in action this weekend. But I think Texas will get the win. And I guess that'll be an upset in Baylor.
The next game is a contest that will be played in the Sooner State. But Oklahoma will be at Oklahoma State. Last year, Jacob, they were tied 24-24 going into the fourth quarter. And in the fourth quarter, within 92 seconds, four touchdowns were scored.
My goodness.
40 points were scored in that fourth quarter. And Oklahoma won the game 47-41. Now, Oklahoma has won eight straight in this rivalry. Oklahoma comes in with a 9-2 record. Oklahoma State comes in with a 10-1 record. I don't know why, but I just feel Oklahoma will win this game.
Well, I'm going to go with Oklahoma State. I think at home it's going to be hard for the Sooners to pull off the upset. And I'll tell you, the main reason I say that is because they are missing, and have been for a couple of weeks now, their biggest offensive threat, Ryan Broyles. I do think this is the biggest test, though, that Oklahoma State has had thus far. I think it'll be a close game. But I think in the end, in Stillwater, come on, Oklahoma State's having a dream season. They will get this win at home.
The Pac-10 championship game was set for Friday so that it'd have a jump on the rest of them.
Oh, yeah.
I think if Commissioner Scott had known the kind of game he was going to have, he'd probably had this played on Tuesday night. But anyway, it's going to be on Friday night anyway. And Oregon and UCLA. Oregon has a 10-2 record. UCLA comes in with a 6-6 record. UCLA comes in with their coach having been fired. The coach who said that he was going to take over and dominate Southern Cal. Well, 50-0 wasn't domination. Oh, he lost 50-0. That wasn't domination.
No, it wasn't.
So I'm going to go with Oregon in this game.
Well, last night, if anybody watched the Monday Night Football game between the Saints and the Giants, you saw one team that was definitely a playoff team, and the New Orleans Saints could go all the way to the championship game and face the Packers, and you saw the Giants. And I don't think the Giants are a playoff team right now. They could become one, but I don't think they are right now. So in this game, I see, of course, Oregon is a playoff team, if you were to use that phrase, and they are a BCS-quality team. UCLA, not a playoff team, and it's not even close. So I'm going to have to go with the Ducks to get the win. They just have too much riding on this game, and they're so much better, and Neuheisel will go off with another thud.
Well, my next game is New Mexico at Boise. Now, keep this in mind, Jacob. New Mexico comes into this game. Now, you know, Boise was wanting to upgrade their schedule, moving from the WAC to the Mountain West. So now they're competing in the Mountain West Conference, and they have to go play teams like New Mexico. Now, Boise, this might surprise you, but Boise has a 2-0 record all time against New Mexico. But Boise will be home, and because they have the home field advantage, I'm going to say that Boise at 10-1 will defeat New Mexico, who is 1-10.
Yeah, I don't think New Mexico has a shot at winning this game. I'm going to take Boise.
The next game is Arkansas State at Troy. Now, we're beginning to see the Arkansas State's a pretty good team, so I'm going to pick Arkansas State.
Well, they have a coach that's a hot commodity right now. His first name escapes me, but his last name is Freeze, and he is on the list for perhaps a job in the state of Mississippi. Perhaps, not saying it's a done deal, but he's on their list from what I'm hearing. So I think Arkansas State is up and coming program right now. I'll take the I had their nickname earlier and forgot it, but I'll take Arkansas State.
Our last game this week will be Virginia Tech and Clemson playing in the ACC championship game. And Virginia Tech comes in with 11-1 record, Clemson 9-3. I'm going to pick the Virginia Tech to win this game.
Well, this is a remake of an earlier game, and this would give Virginia Tech some credibility on losing their earlier game so badly to Clemson at home. So I'm going to take Virginia Tech in this game. I think they will get redemption. I think Clemson is on a downward spiral right now, and they got absolutely run out of the building the other night in Columbia. So I will take the Hokies, believe it or not, but it's not a solid pick. It's one of those that I'm kind of nervous about. All right, what is your chalk talk on today?
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, and I won't go into all the numbers, but it looks like, and I think should, be Alabama and LSU in the national championship game. It's incredible how close these two teams are. Now, we know they played each other and wound up having to decide it by field goal in overtime. But think about this, Jacob. Let me just give you just two or three numbers. First of all, their total conference opponents, where they played when they played teams that were that each of them played, in points scored, LSU scored 236 points, Alabama scored 231 points. They gave, on defense, Alabama gave up 58 points. LSU gave up 54 points. Now, when you add the other conference game, all the SEC conference games for them, LSU comes up with a plus 6 in points scored, 271 to 265. Alabama comes up with a 3-yard advantage on defense when they gave up 58 points and LSU gave up 61 points. Now, if you took all games that they played and you look at the points totals, the total scored, you would find that LSU on offense has a 26-point lead, 458 points scored this year against Alabama's 432. That's 26 points advantage for LSU. On defense, Alabama has a 21-yard advantage, giving up 106 points, while LSU's given up 127. Now, one other thing, their non-conference teams take the total wins of all the non-conference teams that they played. Each team won 28 games. It's incredible how close they are.
Yes, it is.
Now, let's just think right quick as we close out this, looking at our continuing our chalk talk. Now, just for the record, you know, you've heard people say Alabama's in the clubhouse waiting to play the national championship. Well, Oklahoma State is actually playing the last game of their regular schedule this week. They were in the, well, they might not have been in the clubhouse. They were probably in the sand trap last weekend while Alabama was playing Auburn. And think about this, Jacob. Stanford is not playing. So are they in the clubhouse? Oregon is not playing a real game. They're playing UCLA. Think about when comparisons are made. The Pac-10 or the Pac-12 have UCLA at 6-6, who lost to Arizona, who won four games this year. They lost to Arizona 48-12, and they fired their coach. That's who they have in their conference championship game. Now, Wisconsin and Michigan State is a very good conference championship game. The Big East champion who might go to a BCS bowl is Louisville. And they might, even though they've had five or six losses, and they could qualify. The Big 12, when you want to think about the Big 12, and, you know, everybody wanting to talk about Oklahoma State, think about this, Jacob. The Big 12, if it's such a powerful conference, why is Nebraska and Colorado and Texas A&M and Missouri all look to get out of there? And does that show strength? They now get TCU, who they rejected before. They get West Virginia, who was declined by the ACC and the SEC, and also BYU said no to them. So let's just quit kidding ourselves and know that if Alabama and LSU plays in the national championship game, it will be the best two teams playing each other, whether they played each other once before or not.
Well, I think that's true, and I wrote a column today that said that I believe that Alabama and LSU, not only do I think they should be in there, I think they will be in there. I don't think there's any way, really, unless something bizarre happens, that anything else will happen. So I think Alabama and LSU will be in New Orleans for the BCS championship game. Next week we'll know, though, when we come back to the Bun Sports Show with our next show with the college football professor, and that will also be our final show of the regular season. We'll take a little bit of off time before rejoining the professor for our bowl season shows, which we'll let you know when those will be. But next week, our final show of the regular season, so we will see you then. We'll be back soon. Thanks for listening.